Please be seated.
Good morning to each one. I invite you to take your Bibles out, please. Be open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We thank you. We thank each one for their presence here today. I know we're blessed with visitors once again. We're so thankful for you especially coming our way to worship God with us in spirit and truth. Good to see John and Rhonda and all the family here. Of course, we miss them, but it's always good to have them back for a visit. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 11. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica, says to them, "Therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." We need to realize and appreciate here is a divine instruction, an inspired instruction that Paul, yes, gives to the church originally to Thessalonica, but really for all Christians, that every child of God is to encourage one another. Every child of God is to build one another up or edify. In fact, it is something that we see on a consistent basis throughout the New Testament. And here's a sampling. In Acts chapter 16, we're just going to hit these kind of quickly before we move on. But Acts 16 and in verse 40, this is after Paul and Silas and Timothy had preached the gospel in Philippi, after the conversion of Lydia, after the conversion of the jailer and his household. And when they went out, so they went out of the prison, verse 40, and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Here you have a new church that's been established. You have new converts that have recently obeyed the gospel, and they need to be encouraged. And so they encouraged them before they left Philippi. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 1 and 2, after the uproar had ceased, and that was the uproar in Ephesus, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now, when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece. And then he stayed there 3 months. But once again, he encouraged the brethren with many words. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 12, notice with me, please. Romans 1 verse 12. And we'll include verse 11 with it to have more of a complete thought. "For I long to see you," Paul said, "that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established." Notice verse 12. "That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." Encouraged together. Going to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26. We read there, "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation." Last statement. "Let all things be done for what? For edification." Edification means to build up. To build up means to encourage. So let everything you do when you come to assemble and worship God, let it be to encourage. Let it be to build up. Let it be for edification. Verse 31, the same chapter. "For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be what? All may be encouraged." Of course, that's in the context of many of them wanting to be able to have the gift of tongues, to use the gift of tongues. But the thing about tongues, you're speaking another language. Unless you have an interpreter, no one's going to benefit from that. No one's going to be encouraged by that. But a prophet is speaking in the language of the congregation. They're going to understand that. Everyone can be encouraged when they hear that prophet speak, is the point. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 19, "Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ." Notice this last statement. Paul says, "But we do all things, beloved, for your edification. Again, edification, edify means to build up. So that you might be strengthened and built up in the faith of Jesus Christ, so that you may be encouraged, in other words. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. Philippians 2, verse 19. Paul says to this church in Philippi, "For I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state." Of course, he speaks of their spiritual state. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Colossians 2, opening two verses, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that notice that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, but that their hearts may be encouraged." 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, notice, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this." He wanted these brethren to be encouraged. They were facing afflictions. They were facing persecutions. And when something like that is going on, what you need is you need encouragement to continue to be faithful. In chapter 5 and verse 14, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." Though the word encourage is not used here, it's implied. If we're going to comfort the faint-hearted, what are we doing? We're encouraging them. If we're upholding the weak, what's that going to be? That's going to be an encouragement to them. You see, encouragement is an important part of the Christian's life. We need it. Every single Christian needs encouragement. Elders need encouragement. Our deacons need encouragement. Gospel preachers need encouragement. Let me pause here, because this specifically includes me, and we can make applications above and below to what I'm about to say. When I say encouragement, I don't just merely mean, "That was a good lesson, Jesse. Enjoyed the class." Don't get me wrong, I don't mind hearing those things. Every gospel preacher needs to hear that from time to time and be encouraged in the teaching and preaching they're doing. But sometimes preachers need to be encouraged to speak up and to take a stand for the truth and to preach boldly. And we see that in both the Old and New Testament. Prophets in the Old Testament, leaders in the Old Testament, various ones encouraging them. We read of Nehemiah being encouraged when it came to those who had intermarried with pagans around them to do what needed to be done. And I'm sure that Nehemiah appreciated that support, being encouraged to do the right thing. But preachers need to be encouraged to speak boldly, to take a stand for the truth, and to be encouraged in the work of evangelism and teaching the lost, and et cetera. So it's not just, I'm not talking just about a compliment here and there for a lesson presented or something. There's various ways that we can encourage the elders, that we encourage the deacons, that you encourage preachers. Older saints, they need encouragement, don't they? They need our support. Widows and widowers, they need encouragement. Those who are single, those who are divorced, but trying to live their lives faithful to God, they need encouragement in their lives. Parents, we need encouragement, don't we? You need encouragement to keep doing what is right. And our young people, they need encouragement. You know, encouragement can serve as a call to bravery, to valor, to do the right thing, to say and to do that which honors God and benefits man. And we need the blessings that encouragement gives, blessings such as the strength that encouragement gives, renewal that encouragement can give, and reassurance. And so if we were to give a definition of encouragement, we're talking about the action of giving someone support, helping giving them confidence, hope even. It's persuasion to do or to continue to do something. It's the act of trying to stimulate the development of an activity, a state or belief. And some common synonyms of encouragement is that which is heartening, cheering up, inspiration, motivation, stimulation, fortification. You know, Barnabas is one of my all-time favorite Bible characters, and he may be one of yours. But Barnabas, son of encouragement. The first time that we're introduced to this great brother in Christ is in Acts chapter 4. You might want to be turning to the book of Acts with me, please. Though I will have this scripture up here momentarily, we will be reading from another place in Acts shortly. But here's the first time we're introduced to Barnabas in the New Testament, is at the very end of Acts chapter 4. And we read at the beginning of verse 36, "And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles," which is translated "son of encouragement," "a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Of course, the context was we have Christian saints who are in need, and we have those who have the ability to part with some property, some possessions, and sell those things, brought the proceeds as Barnabas did, laid at the apostles' feet to help Christians who are in need. Barnabas was involved in that. But you think about this, his name is Joseph. His name's not Barnabas. That's not his birth name. That's the name given to him by the apostles in Jerusalem. And you think about that. You know, a lot of people get nicknames. But this wasn't just a nickname. This was a description of a characteristic, a quality that stood out. And so the apostles, no doubt, are getting to know Barnabas and observing Barnabas, and what they see, are they really, they're watching, observing Joseph, but what they see causes them to give him the name Barnabas because he's such an encourager. He's such a comforter to others. Because the King James Version, those of you who have that, you have, instead of the son of encouragement, the son of consolation. And consolation means comfort. He's such an encouraging brother. He's such a comforting brother. So the son of consolation. The American Standard Version has son of exhortation. He exhorts. He builds up, you see. Now the Greek word here for encouragement, consolation, exhortation, is parakalesis. 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 You'll find in a number of New Testament passages, but one of the meanings of that is to call to one side. To call to one side. It means to comfort. It means to exhort. It means to entreat. And that was Barnabas. And so this was a very appropriate name for such a good man who brought comfort and encouragement to others so often. You remember in Acts chapter 9, after Saul's conversion, the disciples in Jerusalem, to whom he tried to join himself, were afraid of Saul. Didn't believe he was really one of them, really a child of God, until Barnabas spoke up on his behalf. And Barnabas explained to the apostles and those in Jerusalem, the church, that the Lord had appeared to him, that he had been preaching already in Damascus. And yes, he was sincerely, legitimately a child of God and now a preacher of the gospel. But it was Barnabas who interceded on his behalf. And then in Acts 11, and I do want to read this with you in Acts 11, he was sent to Antioch to strengthen the church there. Of course, it's at the end of Acts 7 that we read of the stoning death of Stephen, to which Saul, a young man, gave his consent, and then the great persecution in chapter 8 that arose against the church, and the Christians, the disciples, were scattered and went everywhere preaching the word. Well, Luke ties this passage back to that in Acts 7 and 8, here in verse 19 of Acts 11. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Verse 22. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. And shortly thereafter, we have Barnabas and Saul, of course, Paul, working together for an entire year there in Antioch of Syria. But you think about it. The gospel went out after the persecution there in Acts 8, being preached in various places. Verse 19 mentions to the Jews only, but verse 20 says it went to the Hellenists, it went to the Greeks, it went to the Gentiles. And they believed, and they obeyed the gospel. And when the church in Jerusalem finds out about this, who's the first person, who's the first Christian brother that comes to mind? We need to send Barnabas. We have some new converts, and there's no one we can think probably better to send that's going to be such a boost to them, such an encouragement to them, such a comfort to them than this man. And so they send Barnabas. And Barnabas arrives. And when he came there, it says he was glad in verse 23. And what did he do? It says he encouraged them. Oh, he's the son of encouragement. What do we expect? That's what he did. He encouraged them all. What did he encourage them all about? That with purpose of heart, you need to continue with the Lord. Yes, you've obeyed the gospel. That's great. You received salvation, but you need to continue to grow. You need to continue to learn. You need to continue to study. You need to continue to be faithful. And as far as we know, they did. And 24, because of his continued work, a great many people were added to the Lord. Later, of course, chapters 13 and 14, he journeyed with Paul on the first preaching trip. Encourage one another is the instruction given to all Christians as we began there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. In other words, we're all to be Barnabases. We're all to be sons and daughters of encouragement in the Lord's body. Some stand out more than others, obviously. But we've all been given that command, that instruction to encourage, to build one another up. And again, every single Christian needs it. We all do. And we are to, every single Christian is to give it as well. Well, let's think about and talk about a few of the reasons why we need encouragement. This is not an exhaustive list, just highlighting some. And some that we're going to mention, a lot of things fall under these points. We need encouragement. Why we need encouragement? In order to contend for the faith. Right? Barnabas encouraged them that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Well, we need encouragement to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Many brethren, all brethren need this, right? Because many brethren, maybe if they had received this encouragement from the elders in the church, from the preachers or in the local churches, they would have contended and fought for the faith. doesn't excuse them if they did not, but we need to be encouraged to do that, as Jude did in writing to these saints. He encouraged them, right, to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. We need encouragement in order to do the right thing. A lot of scriptures we could put up here. But in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here's the thing. We are to live right. We are to do right. But we are to always to live right and do right, and to continue to do that day in and day out, week after week, month after month, year after year. We need encouragement to continue to do the right thing in our lives, and not that which, of course, is wrong and sinful. Why we need encouragement? In order to teach the gospel to the lost. I need to be encouraged to do that, but you need to be encouraged to do that. We need to encourage one another to invite our friends, our neighbors to the Vacation Bible School in July. And we're at July 1st, right? We need encouragement to invite our friends and neighbors to our August gospel meeting. But we need encouragement to do that on a regular basis, not just at Vacation Bible School time, not just at the gospel meeting times of the year that are pretty rare, really. I mean, we're talking 3 weeks out of 52 weeks, right? We're talking 3 weeks out of 52 weeks when we talk about our meetings in VBS. So that's just a minuscule amount of the year. But on a regular basis, we need encouragement to go preach the gospel to every creature, because we know that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. We need encouragement in order to continue to serve and work faithfully in the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Right? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in whose work? The work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We need encouragement to work, to diligently work. We need encouragement because of physical trials, don't we? There's a lot here this morning. There's many who are not here this morning because of physical trials. Epaphroditus in Philippians chapter 2, a faithful brother of Christ, became really sick, even almost unto death, Paul says. And he recovered at that time. But physical trials get us discouraged, and so we need encouragement, don't we? We need comfort. We need to be built up. We need encouragement because of spiritual trials. 1 Peter chapter 4, that passage speaks of suffering and being persecuted. The fiery trial which is to try you. Don't think some strange thing happened to you. There's going to be spiritual trials that we experience and go through. And so what do we find so often in the Scriptures when that's going on with our first century brethren? Paul and Peter and John and others were encouraging those they wrote to. Why we need encouragement? Another reason is because of the loss of a loved one. That's difficult. That's hard. That's sorrowful. And we get discouraged. We get lonely. We miss greatly that spouse, that parent, that child, that close friend, right? And so we need encouragement, not just at that moment. Yes, we need it at that moment, but we continue to need it. We need encouragement for many reasons. I want to talk about, though, that which gives encouragement. And this really gets into the heart of the sermon this morning. That which gives encouragement. Number one, the Word of God does. We are to encourage one another. And maybe you remember, think back to some of the passages we already read through. And that's what we saw in some of those passages where encouragement was given. It was by what was said. It was by what was taught from God's Word. Because the Word of God gives us great encouragement. Here in Acts chapter 20, as Paul is meeting with the elders from the church that was in Ephesus, He says to them in verse 32, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God." And notice this part. "And to the word of His grace, which is able to" what? "Which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." What does God's word do for you? What does it do for me? It builds us up. And when we are built up by God's word, we are being encouraged by God's word, are we not? And so here we have 66 books to encourage us. We have 66 books to encourage us. And then, of course, the law that we're under, the New Testament, we have 27 there to encourage us. Romans 15, verse 4. Notice with me, please. Romans 15, 4. Paul says here, "For whatever things were written before," speaking of the Old Testament scriptures, he says they were written for our learning, "that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." There's two key things tied to encouragement: comfort, hope. Encouragement gives comfort at times, and encouragement can give people hope. And Paul says the scriptures do that for us. "The things written before were written for our learning," he says, "that we, through the patience and comfort of the" what, Paul? "The scriptures," might have hope. If you want to be encouraged, and you know this already, but let's be reminded, if you want encouragement, spend time reading in God's word. If you want encouragement, meditate in the scriptures. And I hope studying God's word, and I trust studying God's word this morning, will be an encouragement to you. You want to be encouraged? Go to the book of Psalms. All right? Go to Psalms and begin reading there. And you'll be encouraged over and over and over again. Meditate there. "That which gives encouragement, assembling with the saints." God in His wisdom knew that we as human beings, those made in His image, those of us His children, that on a regular weekly basis we need encouragement. God knows that. Do we know that? We need to be here. If we're not here, we cannot receive the encouragement you get when you assemble the saints. I cannot give it to you, and I cannot receive it from you if I'm not here. Hebrews chapter 10. And so we're told, verse 24, "And let us consider one another." In order to do what? "In order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, we need to be considerate. I need to consider you. You need to consider me and your brethren. And notice to do what? Verse 24. In order, here's the purpose, in order to stir each other up to love and good works. Now think about it. If you are being stirred up to love and good works, and I'm being stirred up to love and good works, and all of us are being stirred up to love and good works, is that not encouraging? Is that not have encouragement kind of written all over it? If we're being motivated and stirred up to what is good works that I'm supposed to be doing, you're supposed to be doing in your life as a child of God, sure it is. Stirred up to what? Love and good works. And then what's tied directly to being stirred up to love and good works? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So I miss, by choice, I'm missing out on some wonderful encouragement, right? And so if you miss a lot and you start adding that up, if I miss once every week, right? That's 50, two times. If I miss twice, that's over 100 times a year that I'm missing out on some key encouragement. So I need to be here. You need to be here. One of the best places to get encouragement is where you're at right now. Should be. Assembling with the saints. Again, there's God's wisdom. He knows we need encouragement. And He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some. Because here you stir up one to love and good works. As you're offering up worship to me, it's encouraging. It's encouraging. Verse 25, exhorting one another. To exhort, again, is to build up. It also includes sometimes to warn. If you back up to chapter 3 of Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 3. Notice verse 13 of Hebrews 3. But exhort one another daily. Does anyone have a little note in front of the word exhort like I do? And in your reference column, what word do you have there? I know a lot of you have encourage, don't you? For verse 13. But encourage one another, what? Daily. Every day. While it's called today. Why? Lest any one of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. We need encouragement every day. To be faithful to God. We need encouragement every week. And thankfully, we can do it here multiple times a week. We can do it this morning as we're doing. We can do it tonight, Lord willing. We can do it Wednesday night, Lord willing. We have a whole week of encouragement coming up a week from tomorrow, Lord willing, with our Vacation Bible School. That which gives encouragement. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I mean, that's kind of an obvious one, right? You ever encouraged by a song? Have you ever been encouraged by a hymn? Sure you have. And so Paul says, speaking to one another, speaking to yourselves. In Psalms, hymns, we're speaking this to one another, right? As we worship God, Paul said in Colossians 3:16, teaching and admonishing one another through the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I hope as you think back with me at this moment to the songs that Corey has already led us in this morning in our worship service, that you were encouraged. You've already been encouraged. You think about the song, Others. Others. And serving others and doing for others. Oh, the things that we may do as we were led in before the lesson. Those songs, of course, geared intentionally toward the lesson this morning, but the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that we come together when we assemble with the saints, this is part of stirring one another up to love and good works, by the way. It's encouragement. Think about Paul and Silas there in Philippi as they've been beaten with rods put into the inner stock. And about midnight, not only did they begin to pray, they began to sing. And James writes in James 5:13, is anyone among you cheerful? Anyone among you happy? Let him sing. Well, why were they singing then? They'd been falsely accused. They'd been beaten with rods. And here it is with their fresh wounds on their back. Falsely charged and accused, and their Roman citizenship completely violated. Late at night, into the early morning hours of the next day, they're praying and they're singing, and the prisoners were listening to them. You think Paul and Silas encouraged prisoners in their dark cell that night in Philippi? You better believe it. And we encourage one another when we come together and we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Do we not? That which gives encouragement, tied certainly to those previous two points, is the family of God. One of the biggest sources, at least it should be, of encouragement is God's family. Brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. Rejoice with those who rejoice, Romans 12:15. Weep, Paul says to the saints in Rome, with those who weep. That's the family of God. Sympathizing, empathizing. Times of joy, but there's times of sorrow. And we're moved by that. We care about that when our brethren are affected by good things and bad or difficult things in their life. In 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26 says, as describing the body of Christ and the members of that body and how we're all connected to one another, how every member is important, has a function. And how he says there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it because we are connected. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, our mutual faith, our one hope that we share. The family of God, it's a very close tie. It's a very close bond that we have. It should be. And so those who give us some of the most encouragement in life should be our brethren, right? In Galatians chapter 6, 2, it says, bear one another's what? Bear one another's burdens. And when we do that, what do we fulfill? And so fulfill the law of Christ. That's how important it is to God. That's how important it is to our Savior Jesus Christ, that we would bear one another's burdens. We are fulfilling the law of Christ. You might think back to Matthew 25 that we read just last week in our study. Remember the scene of the judgment and the sheep and the goats being separated, and he speaks to those on his right and he says, blessed are you, enter into the kingdom of your Father. And he says what they had done to him. When he was hungry, they fed him. When he was needing clothes, they gave him clothes. When he was sick, they visited him. When he was in prison, they came to see him. When he was a stranger, they took him in. And the Lord, they said to the Lord, when did we see you in these situations and do those things to you? He said, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You see how that might tie into Galatians 6:2? To bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do we not do that when our brother or sister is going through something difficult and we help bear their burdens? Are we not? That gives them encouragement, doesn't it? Of course it does. But we are that which gives encouragement, the family of God. We get encouragement, or we should, from the elders. The work they do, watching out for our souls as they shepherd the flock. Their example they set, 1 Peter 5, to the flock here, gives encouragement. The deacons doing their duties, fulfilling their responsibilities, doing their work every week without complaining, gives encouragement. The older members, observing them, seeing them at all the services, if possible, they give us encouragement, don't they? We have many here this morning. Don't feel good. They're still dealing with some health problems, some sickness, or health problems, plural. And yet they're here. And they're pretty much always here. And some of our older members who are not here, they would be here if they were in better health, wouldn't they? And yet their faithfulness, their steadfastness, they encourage us, don't they? Our young people encourage us. Our young people encourage us. Lots of times our young people are sitting in the front. Some of them are this morning. Others are spread out in different places. But our young people encourage us. And the kind of character they already possess, some of them having already obeyed the gospel. The others, everything we can see, heading in the right direction. Many of them taking notes, following along in their Bibles. Oftentimes they have brought their friends with them to services. Bree does that a lot. I appreciate that. Others have done that as well. But she was sitting in front of April and I Wednesday night with her two friends. And as the Wednesday night invitation was being given by David Gerza, I see them both lean in toward Bree, who had the Bible opened so they could read along with her. You see, our young people give us encouragement, don't they? The young ladies, the young men, already serving, some of them who have obeyed the gospel. They give us encouragement. And again, ultimately everyone does. Everyone, in their own way, and the things they do, the things they say, sometimes just their presence, it gives us encouragement. That which gives encouragement, most indeed, prayer does. Most assuredly, prayer does. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Are you ever anxious about anything? Are you ever anxious about anything? You ever have anxiety? Don't we all? God's Word says, don't. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I always like presenting the two options here. What do you want? Anxiety? Or the peace of God? Right? Hands down. I want that peace of God. Okay, well, give it to God in prayer. That anxiety, give it to God in prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, what will it do? It will guard your hearts and minds. Where's anxiety at? It's up here in my mind, in my head. But the peace of God's going to guard, right? It's going to guard it through Christ Jesus. Might not be able to explain it, since it surpasses all understanding, right? But we know it, and we appreciate it, and we feel it, and we receive it if we do what God's Word says. And that gives encouragement. Prayer gives encouragement. Saying, of course, our prayers ourselves, but praying for others gives them encouragement. James 5:16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? It availeth much. We need that in times of trial and difficulties and anxiety and stress and the problems, the physical problems, the spiritual problems of life. We need to be praying more because, again, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it does availeth or accomplish much. And we know when we pray according to His will, we will receive what we ask for. That's what John says in 1 John 5:14 and 15. That which gives encouragement, I would say ultimately the hope and promise of heaven. Titus 1 verse 2. If this was it, if this life was it, that would not be very encouraging, would it? Because, number one, this life is short. And when you factor in sickness, illness, disease, accidents, violence committed against different ones, it can get even shorter. But even if you live a long life, some of our members have been able to do by God's blessings and grace, it's still short. We're still a vapor that appears for a short time and vanishes away. And if this was it, as Paul says, eat, drink, and be merry, I guess. But it's not it. In fact, this is just a little bit, right? Our earthly existence, it's so quick. It's the next life that's forever. But you think about how encouraging it is to know that we have the hope and promise of heaven. That's why and how we can get through all the trials and heartaches and hardships and problems and anxieties that arise in this life is because we have a hope and promise of heaven. And the one who promised that to us in Titus 1:2, he cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18 through 20, he cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And so we have a hope of eternal life promised to us before time began, Paul says here. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. It's not a dead hope, it's a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away. Notice, reserved in heaven for you. We have a hope and promise of heaven. The faithful child of God does. And so as Jesus Christ himself said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. There's a promise. The Lord made the promise. Do you believe that promise? That hope is an anchor for your soul. It's an anchor for my soul. Both sure and steadfast. And it's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. And so I would say the main thing that gives us encouragement after one has obeyed the gospel is this right here. The hope and promise of heaven. But again, that goes back to point number one. That which gives us encouragement, we know that, we learn that through what? The Word of God. That which gives us encouragement, the Word of God. Secondly, assembling with the saints. Thirdly, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Fourth, the family of God. Fifth, prayer. And number six, the hope and promise of heaven. If you will, take out your hymn book, please, and open to the song of invitation. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. I hope in some way you were encouraged this morning. If you weren't, I failed. And I didn't do a very good job, and I apologize. And I'll try to do better. But I hate to preach a lesson on encouragement, and you weren't encouraged anyway. And so if you weren't, don't tell me. That'll be discouraging to me. I trust that you were, even if in spite of me, because we're here worshiping God. That's encouraging. Assembling with the saints as we did, singing these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, observing the Lord's Supper, being reminded of our Savior's love and what he did for us and why we have the hope and promise of heaven is because of him. And how can we not be encouraged just by observing this memorial feast? By giving of our means, being encouraged about how blessed we are in our lives so abundantly. Everything that we have provided for us physically and the things that we can give and give back to the Lord what he's blessed us with. And to study his word again this morning and to have the opportunity tonight to be encouraged and build up again. What a blessing. We want to encourage you, of course, this morning as we extend the Lord's invitation, if you're not a child of God, to become one. Obey the gospel. There's no bigger source of encouragement that you really could give to yourself, but you could also give to heaven because the angels in heaven rejoice. Talk about encouragement when a sinner is saved. And so maybe that's you this morning and you're ready to obey the gospel. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, John 3:16. You are ready and willing to repent of your sins. Turn away from them and turn to do God's will because you don't want to be lost and you realize God commands you to do that and you have godly sorrow about your sins. You're ready to repent. Acts 2:38, Acts 17:30. And with your mouth, you are ready to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You believe in your heart God, in fact, raised him from the dead. You will serve a risen Savior, Romans 10:9 and 10. And you realize there's a command, though, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And you're ready to submit to that commandment, Acts 2:38, that you may come out of the watery grave of baptism having your sins washed away by the blood of Christ, and walk in newness of life. Have the hope and promise of heaven for all eternity. We're ready to assist you if you're ready to obey the Lord. If you are a child of God, but there's sin in your life, let us exhort and encourage you to repent, turn away from that sin, and be faithful to God. The Lord could come at any time. Are you ready for Him to come? Are you ready for Judgment Day? Are you in a saved condition? If not, we invite you to come as we stand and we sing.